So today we are talking about fear. Sometimes that's how you know it rises up inside of me sometimes. I don't know about you, but sometimes it like starts at my toes and then it rises up. But when it gets to my solar plexus, sometimes I feel like it's taken over. So we're going to talk about fear. Is it a friend? Is it a foe? Or you fill in the blank. However, I'd like to start, as I always do, with a joke. Now, you might be thinking, why is she starting with a joke? We are here to get enlightened and transformed. It's because I have come to know in my life, my long life, that playfulness and humor and joking and laughter is just as much a part of spirit as the what we call the sacred or the enlightened or anything like that. Because we know there is only one power, one presence, one essence. And so that one power, presence, essence is filled with everything. There is no duality in spirit. We get to remember that, and I find that if we start off with a joke, it reminds us there is no duality in spirit. So I want to share this joke with you. There was a man who he had a challenge. Ever since he was a child, he couldn't sleep because he thought there was something under his bed. And I don't know about you, but I can kind of identify with this because when I was a little girl, sometimes I used to think there was something under my bed or in the closet. However, there was this man, and he thought there was something under his bed, okay? And so he decided, I'm going to allow myself to let go of this, so he went to a psychiatrist. And he told the psychiatrist what his issue was, and the psychiatrist said, oh, sure, snap, we can take care of that. Nope, no issue with that. If you come to me 3 times a week, For a whole year, all the weeks, all 52 weeks of the year, we can allow you, that can release itself from you. And so the man said, okay, well, I'd like to think about that. I'll get back to you, okay? So he thought about it, and then about 6 months later, the psychiatrist was walking down the street, and here's this man. He hadn't seen him since he or she had not seen this individual since they came to the office. And when the psychiatrist saw this individual, said, well, hi, how are you doing? How are things working for you? And this individual said, well, you know, I was thinking about it, that $80 a session, 3 times a week, 52 weeks of the year, that was a lot. And so I decided that I could actually buy myself a brand new SUV with that money. And instead, I got cured by a bartender. And so now the psychiatrist is thinking. The psychiatrist, of course, now has an attitude. The psychiatrist is like, uh-huh, yeah. What? How did this happen? And the person said to him, I went to a bar, and the bartender, for $10, one drink for $10, cured me. And the cure was the bartender told me, saw the legs off of your bed, then nothing can be under there. Isn't that wonderful? A wonderful way for us to know about fear, to accept fear, to be in fear. Yeah. So just as, thank you, Bob and Diane. Bob was here at the 9:30 service and was so welcoming and wonderful. And Diane, I love your addition because it's just like blossoms and blooms the entire hosting. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And so what they did say, like some of these questions, and yes, it is a lot of questions. I'm a question girl. I love questions. So what if we allow ourselves to take a flying leap? What if we give up turning back as a life option? Or what if we embrace the greatest of all shifts in our lives? So I was being with this since Reverend Kristen talked to me about being here. She said, you can speak about anything you'd like. And what showed up was fear. And I'm sure it showed up for me because it's one of those opportunities for growth that shows up in my life regularly in one way or the other. And so I thought, what is fear? How can we define fear? How can we make sure we're all on the same page? And so I went to the Science of Mind textbook to look up something about, I went to a lot of books, but to see something about fear. And what the Science of Mind textbook shares is, but what is fear? Nothing more or less than the negative use of faith. Mm-hmm. Fear misplaced, the belief in two powers instead of one. A belief that there can be a power opposed to God. Now, just think about that. Are we harboring a faith that there can be a power opposed to the one and only power? Really, when we allow ourselves to sink into, when we're in fear, one of the things we are accepting or doing or embracing is duality. Like I said up at the top, there is no duality in spirit. You know, sometimes we go with the good or bad, right or wrong. Well, those are languaging ways that we pull spirit apart on itself, I might say. Whereas they're all a facet of the one power and the one presence. They're all a part of spirit. They're not out on their own little island by themselves. They're all rolled up and integrated into the oneness of spirit. So as I was being with all of this, I thought of a movie. And actually, I didn't really think of this movie. I want to be transparent and fess up. I watched this movie with one of my adult children, and when I was talking to her about fear, and then she said, "Oh, Mom, remember that movie Hercules we watched, and there was something in there about fear." So I want to be give the props where they belong. It was my daughter. Her name is Leah. So the thing about in that movie, fear had two sidekicks. And the two sidekicks were pain and panic. Okay, so the two sidekicks, so pain was one of the first sidekicks. And so pain is something that we all experience. And we can experience it as a reaction to a perceived imminent happenings. Or we can experience it in a visceral way. We can feel pain. You know, today when I was getting dressed and I was looking at my arm and I saw a big bruise there and I kind of touched it and it was like, oh, it was painful to touch it. And then I realized what I had done at the gym. I ran into a machine and I got a bruise, but I had forgotten about it. But that's like, I could feel pain in my body tempo, but pain is also can be our reaction. And it can be, you know, the difference, reaction and response are two completely different things. Reaction is like immediate, non-thinking, stepping outside our own spiritual self. And response is when we take the time to stop, breathe, slow down, and let ourselves know there are several ways I can respond to this. So that's what I'm defining pain as. And now panic. Panic can be something that we take as emotional suffering. And the panic usually, it shows up in our body temple. For me, it shows up right here in my solar plexus. It gets tight. It can show up other places. I was just the other day in a situation where I got an instant headache. I mean, just like, dung! And I realized, oh, okay, that's panic showing up in me. And the panic was a result of a conversation that I had had with someone that the conversation didn't go exactly the way that I anticipated. And actually, it was one of my adult children. It was my son. And so it was, you know, it was one of those things like, okay, here's where we are now. And this is a growth opportunity for both of us. So to myself, I could say, Verona, what are you going to do about it? In what ways are you going to handle what is really panic, which is part of the panic and pain, you know, the two little sidekicks of fear. And they show up and they just, you know, come along and like, okay, let's go. We have you now. Let's go on into fear. Let's sink on in. And instead, I realized what could I do? One of the things is tend to the fear. We can tend to the fear. And one of the ways we can tend to the fear is the first thing is acknowledge it. Be in a place of awareness of it. Try our very best not to spiritual bypass it. Try not to say, oh, I'm not feeling... No, I'm not afraid. Oh, no, I can just pray this away. You know, sometimes I have to say I have done this. Oh, I'll just pray it away. I'll just do a quick spiritual mind treatment. I'll do a laser prayer, and it'll just go away. And you know what? The most important part first is being in the awareness of it. Step into the depth of it. Allow yourself to feel it. Allow ourselves to feel it. Because I don't know who said this, but the only way to is through. It's the only way we're going to get there. We get an opportunity to feel it. We get to feel it in our heart, in our soul, and in our body temple. We get to allow ourselves to feel it. And now the next thing I'd like to say about in that moment, and this is just for you, Bob, we get to have a dialogue with it. And the reason I said that to Bob, we had a little conversation before about it. And I understand, I get it, that when I say have a dialogue with fear, you might be thinking, what is wrong with her? when I'm afraid, I'm in this state. My heart is racing. I may be sweating. I may be, you know, maybe my hands are like this and fists. However, fear, like love, joy, harmony, peace, exaltation, and grace are all part of the oneness. They're still all part of spirit. So we get to bring it into our heart and say to it, fear, you're here. I don't like that you're here. I mean, if you want to say that, you may like it. But you can acknowledge, you know, this is not a way I'd like to feel. And what is it you came here for? What did you come here to teach me? What did you come here so that I could learn? What did you come here? In what way have you come here to reinforce a truth that I already know? Or in what way have you come here to activate a spiritual principle that has always been a part of my life, that is a part of my life, that all this prayer, journaling, visioning, learning that we do so that the spiritual principles become one within us, fear. In what way have you shown up for that to illuminate within me, to radiate within me, to like project on the screen out in front of me? What is it, fear? And if we give ourselves an opportunity to be in the stillness and the silence, and speak to fear, it will let us know. It has let me know several times. It explains itself. And ours is to step into the courage and the bravery to accept what it explains. Because we all know, I've it's happened to me more times than I could ever count. My inner voice is speaking to me, and it's telling me something, and I refuse to listen. Or I say, no, it couldn't be that. No, it can't be that. And that's the thing. If we allow ourselves to listen. Oh, and when that's happened to me, 10 times out of 10, something results that was not what I wanted. However, if we just like I was saying about listening to, it's often referred to as the still small voice within. In my head, it's a loud roaring voice. Okay, it is. And sometimes it is a still small voice. In the wee hours of the night, sometimes it's a still small voice, mostly for me, probably because I'm a high volume person. It shows up in the way that I will listen. However, if we allow ourselves to listen with that same listening apparatus about what fear has come for, it'll become clear. It'll become very, very clear. And the clarity shows up when we are ready. Okay, just like I think it was Maya Angelou who's been attributed with this. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. So that's the things we can ask fear. And so I want to tell you a story about fear that I know I've known for a long time. There was a criminal, and he committed some... Stop. Criminal, before I said, I don't like that word. There was someone who made what was deemed as an offense towards society. How's that? Okay, and the reason I just can't use that word criminal is because a lot of people are called criminals who are not. A lot of people are called criminals through no making of their own. They might be deemed in the category of criminals that because they may have something to do with their race, their ethnicity, their whatever. Okay, so that was a little aside. So there was someone who had committed some sort of crime. Okay, and the person who committed this crime was convicted. And so this was a long time ago, as the story goes. This person went before the king, because the king was the one who made the sentence or decided how the crime was prosecuted, maybe is the word, but how the crime, what happened to the person. Okay, I don't want to go into a lot of languaging. So this person goes before the king, and the king says, you have two choices. You can choose this rope, a noose. You can choose this. Because the punishment is you aren't going to live through this, all right? You are going to make your transition. You are going to move on to the next realm. You are going to experience the eternality and the immortality of life. You will not be here in this body, in this experience, after this, okay? So the person can choose a rope hung by the neck, okay? Or the king says, there's a door here. This criminal sees this door. There's a door, and you can choose the door if you'd like. And this is kind of like, let's make a deal, huh? So I just thought of that. So the criminal says, I'll take the rope. And so the king says, okay, your choice. So before they execute this person, the person who's being executed says to the king, I'm just curious, How many people choose the door? And what's behind the door? You can tell me, because I won't be here to tell anybody. This, your secret is safe with me. And so the king said, well, I'm not going to tell you what's behind the door, but what I can tell you is that most people choose what you chose, the rope. And so the person who was being executed said, okay. And the king made it clear. I must tell you, though, it always astounds me that most people choose the rope, because if you choose the door, you choose freedom. Behind the door is freedom. And he said, but most people are so ensconced in the consciousness of fear, they choose the rope, because their choice is like, okay, I choose the rope, let's get it over with. Versus, what is behind that door? So the reason I brought that story and why I'm saying it is that we have a choice when it comes to fear. We have a choice in the ways that fear up-levels our lives. We do. We have a choice. We get to choose. We all know, metaphysicians that we are, we all know that we are always at choice. You know, we chose to come here today. We chose before time began, before we incarnated here, to make this appointment here today on the first day of May at Unity of Walnut Creek. Each one of us, our souls chose. And then when we got here, when we arrived on planet Earth, we went about making our way here in this moment. And why do I say that? Because we are all co-creating here together. I am up here. I have notes. Janet and Narayan, they have songs. However, we are all of us co-creating here together. You know, give it a look around. Look at the face of God. We're all here co-creating together. All right, so, and we all chose that. And that was one of our first choices, possibly. I don't know what else I chose before life began in this body as a human being. However, we have been and always will be the divine expression, radiation, and illumination of the one power. We are all delectable, unrepeatable expressions of the one. Before we got here, the blueprint of our life was already made. Okay, and I'm not saying that we have to stick to, okay, I was born on this day, and I have to do this on this day, I have to do that on that day. However, the spiritual blueprint that we chose, was already done. So I say all those things because we're at choice. We absolutely, positively get to choose, and we get to know that fear up-levels our choices. It just does. You know, I was speaking before about pain. Pain is a part of fear, and I love it, and I can't stop. I can't keep going without saying it. What Reverend Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith says, you know, is that pain pushes and vision pulls. You know, when you think about it, the pain can really push you. The pain can really push you. The world in which we are living today, pain appears to be pushing. It gives the semblance of pushing. But those of us who know the truth know, just like that wonderful song of yours, the world is filled to overflowing with love and peace. It is filled to overflowing with love and peace. Each one of us is a fountain of love and peace. Each one of us has the opportunity to just pour it out, just like we breathe, just like we glisten or sweat, whichever word you'd like. Just like we do those things. So we get to remember that as fear up-levels our lives, that pain is a part of the joy of it. That pain is really one of our tools. And I often say that visioning, prayer, journaling, meditation, contemplation are part of my spiritual tool belt, you know, and so that I can reach in there at any time and get any one or all of them all together, whichever it is, on a regular basis. You know, that we know that the life that we are living, we are here to express, and we are here to do our spiritual practices and to use our spiritual tools, because without each one of us, the world wouldn't be the same. Without you, the world wouldn't be the same. If you weren't here, without your being the beingness that you are, with all the gifts that we each bring, the world would not be the same. The world is what it is because of all of us are here together. You know, there's that African folklore that there's a net the net of Indra that covers all the planets, the galaxies, the cosmos. And each one in the net, you know, it has to be held together at each point. And each point that it's held together is each one of us. And each one of us is a bright and sparkling gem that holds the net together. Yeah, don't you love it? Isn't that yummy? Yeah, that we're the ones, you know? I love it. Yeah, thanks, Janet. It's so good to know. And that we remember that we're the ones. You, me, I, they, us. We're the ones. We are the ones. So you're probably thinking, okay, this sounds really great. I get to face fear. I get to have a conversation with it. I get to bless it. I get to ask it, exactly why are you here? What the heck are you here for? And what did you come for? In what ways are you here to enrich my life? And we're up to this point. So in there is no how in spirit, because I think you all know this, but spirit's making me say it. Okay, the how has nothing to do with us. Okay, when we do our spiritual mind treatments, when we say our affirmations, when we set our intentions, the how has nothing to do with me or you. The how is all about spirit. Ours is to be in the place of intention, of belief, and then watch it unfold. So in our lives, you may be asking, in what ways then can I, what tools can I have about fear? Whether it's a friend, foe, or fill in the blank. So three ways showed up for me that we can make this happen. One of the first ways that showed up for me that we can make it happen is to have faith. And you know, faith overcomes all fear. That's all there is to it. Faith overcomes all fear. Neville Goddard likes to say that faith, or he doesn't like to, but I like this saying, faith is loyalty to the unseen reality. Yeah, let that sink in. And we all have faith. You may be sitting there saying, well, Reverend Verona, I don't have much faith. I don't know about you, but I don't have much faith. You do have faith. You got out of bed this morning. You opened your eyes this morning. You believe that something spectacular and wonderful was waiting right here for you at Unity of Walnut Creek. You know, when you went in your bathroom and turned on the water and picked up your toothbrush, you had faith that there was toothpaste in that room. You know, that we all have faith, and faith can come in eeny beeny increments, and it can come in grand mammoth faith. You know, we could have all sorts of faith. And it's all in each and every one of us. It is just what it is each one of us has, whether we accept it or own up to it or not. We have the faith of the mustard seed. Each one of us, and we know about that faith of the mustard seed. I love to cook Indian food. And so I use mustard seeds a lot. And so mustard seeds, you know, they're this eeny, beeny, 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 beeny little seeds. And then you put them in the pan, and when they hit the heat and they open up, oh, it's so fragrant. However, we have that same thing within and as each one of us. So one of the ways that we can allow ourselves to interact with fear, embrace fear, embody fear, is to have faith. We can just have the faith. And also, the other way to have faith is sit down one day and make a list of, I don't know, the manifestations that Spirit has brought to your life for one day. The demonstrations of the blessings, just for one day. It's going to take a while. Because if we really start writing down, you know, all those things that have happened, we realize it's infinite. And that way, when we look at it, we can have faith knowing that, this already happened. You know, I already did all these things. Whatever faith-filled thing it was that you can take a look and realize. So one of the ways for us to do the tango with fear, I like to tango also, do the tango with fear is faith. Okay, another way that we get to allow ourselves to embrace and embody, not embody, but embrace faith is we get to think God thoughts. We get to think the thoughts of spirit, you know, and one of the thoughts of spirit is love. I mean, we all know, I know, and do you know that love makes the way and the law makes it happen. There is nothing greater than love. We all know all the things that it says in Revelations about love. You know, there are three things, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Love can make a way where there is no way. So that is one of the God thoughts. You can think that God thought about yourself. Another God thought you can think about yourself is grace. Grace, grace, grace that is our sufficiency in, through, and as all things. Allow yourself to know that grace is sitting right next to you there. That grace is when you're eating, grace is right next to you there. Grace is there for the taking. All we have to do is say, yes. Okay, grace. Because grace can bring us through all sorts of things. I want to share with you that I was raised as a Southern Baptist girl. And I was raised in a family that was, you might call us religious. We were at church probably 6 days of the week. We were there all the time. I shared before and I'll share it again that my mother and father, sometimes I would say, well, what's the reason we're at church? Why are we here? And they would say, whenever the church door opens, we're here. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to praise and give thanks. And so I have to say that as the Baptist girl I was raised, we always knew some of those God thoughts. We talked about God thoughts. And in my house, I shared it before. This is a different way. In my house also, we were given the opportunity to do Bible verses. And why do I say it in that way? I kind of do my head that way. My parents made us do Bible verses for all sorts of things. Or you never could tell when, just like you're taking your bath for the eve on Saturday night, because we bathe before church on Sunday, and one of my parents, my mother or father, would pop in and say, Bible verse, girls, let's hear it. Yeah, and so I got to know a lot of God thoughts, you know? I got to know a lot of God things. Most recently, the one that came to me because we just passed Easter is, today I take you with me into paradise. And yeah, just think of that, yeah. I mean, if I'm in fear and I allow that statement to come to me, today I take you with me into paradise, which is what it is said, one of the seven last phrases of Jesus. That's what it's purported to be. But that doesn't just mean just for those people who were supposedly hanging on the cross on either side. It's for us too, you know? I mean, if I'm in a place of fearfulness when I realize I am already in the paradise of spirit, spirit is holding me in the everlasting arms. Ah, what a thing to think. So that's one of the ways we can do it. And the final way that we can allow ourselves to decide where fear fits in our lives is by remembrance. And what do I mean by remembrance? Remembering that we are the oneness of spirit. Remembering who we are. I'm not a very scientific person. However, I have learned and heard that the quantum physicists have let us know that we are made of the same stuff that the stars are made of. What an idea, you know? When I wake up in the morning, my hair's going all different directions, and I put on my glasses and kind of walk to the bathroom and look in the mirror. There's a star in that mirror. You know, and in your mirror too, in each one of our mirrors, you know, we're made of the same stuff. So we get to be in a place of remembrance where we remember that the God consciousness is our home forever and ever. You know, if we remember that the consciousness of the Most High within us is our home, where we are always welcome, where there is not any time where we are turned away, where that place and space of us, where there's its purity and love and tenderness and gentleness and so much more. We get to be in a place of remembrance of that. So these three ways, faith, remembrance, and thank God thoughts. Well, I'm calling them God thoughts. We can call them spirit thoughts. We can call them the life force itself thoughts, the spirit of the living, the energy and spirit of the living God thoughts. Think these thoughts. So you're probably thinking, okay, we've been here. Wow, this sounds great. This sounds wonderful. So how does she work this? How does this work in her life? You know, I love this saying. Well, how's that working for you? Well, so the way, and so I was with this, and the way it's working in my life, and it's really a transparency. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, I get an opportunity to have cataract surgery. Yeah, I'm I have to tell you, I'm excited. Because every person I know who has had cataract surgery says, oh, wait until you see how you can see again. Oh, it's so wonderful and it's so easy. And I'm also excited that this is the year 2022. And so cataract surgery is much like, I don't know, getting your eyebrows tattooed. I mean, it's a surgery that is so easy now. And so, you know, it's just like... Yeah, and yes, I have had my eyebrows tattooed, if you're going to ask. And it's so easy, and it's so effortless. However, I must tell you, last night, after I said my prayers, as I was falling asleep, I found myself in the grip of fear about the surgery. I found myself thinking, well, what if it doesn't work for me? I wasn't concerned about losing my sight, but like, well, what if it works for everybody else and it doesn't work for me? What if it hurts? What if there's some anesthesia issues? I fell into the what ifs. You know, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And then I realized, okay, the way to get, and I'm laying there, it's 10 o'clock, and I'm thinking, you need to get rest, Verona. You get to have fun on a play date at Unity Walnut Creek tomorrow. You need to go to sleep. And so the what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. And then I realized, oh, these three things that I'm sharing here. The first thing was I stood in faith, just the faith that I am a child of the Most High. Just like each one of us, made in its image and likeness. So the faith of, as I arrive at Kaiser Permanente tomorrow, that everyone and everything there is the instruments of spirit. Okay? Second thing, I just thought God thoughts. And what I really thought was the God thought that really, really showed up for me really, really clearly was compassion. And that God thought, compassion for myself, compassion for my fear, compassion for my laying in bed, compassion. That was a God thought that came. And then the other thing was the remembrance, remembering who and whose I am, who and what I am, who and what I have come here to be, knowing that I have come here to bring gifts, so many gifts that can only be brought through me. The gifts that light me up, the gifts that make me smile, the gifts that bring me unlimited joy on the planet, the joy that is mine to bring to everyone else who I encounter. As you can see, enthusiasm, energy, joy, those are some of the God qualities that said when before I got here, hey, Verona, these are you. So those three things, I went through them and it calmed me down. It calmed me down so much that I thought, oh, it's time to go to sleep now, Spirit. It's time to really let go and go to sleep. And just like I said, to look forward to my opportunity for growth physically, emotionally, in my soul, mind, and everything come Monday morning. So I would like to challenge you, each of you, to accept this, that fear is an acronym for face everything and rise. Yeah, and I want to, before we go into our affirmation, I want to leave you with, and I just love this, Toni Morrison says, if you surrender to the wind, you can ride it. Yeah, and if we place fear in there, if you just surrender to it, we can ride it, we can sail, we can cha-cha, we can samba, we can tango, we can waltz, we can do whatever it is we like to do, or we can just slowly take little steps on a stroll. So before our affirmation, I just want to speak the word of prayer. I give thanks. I give thanks for all the words spoken here. I give thanks for the words unspoken. I give thanks for spirit itself. I give thanks for the love, the universal love that makes its way between, through, and as each one of us. And I give thanks for fear. I give thanks for the friend, the foe, and the or. I just give thanks. And so it is. And now our affirmation. All together, and you know what? This may not be the normal for you, but I'm going to ask you to stand up because I have taken voice lessons before, and we give it more and gusto when we're standing. All right, so all together, and say it like you mean it. Say it like you're teaching it to someone who has no idea about any of the things that we all know about, okay? All right, let's go. In love, faith, and remembrance, I embody facing everything and rising. And so it is.